Heavenly Father, we are amazed and in awe of this miracle that your Son, Jesus Christ, performed. Actually, two miracles. Three, if you read carefully. He walked on water. He had Peter walk on water. And then he calmed the wind and the waves. Lord, he is Lord of all. We thank you. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to your holy word today, that we would see the truth and respond to it. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. In last week's Holy Gospel and sermon, do you remember Jesus feeding all those people? What an amazing miracle. In today's Holy Gospel, I want you to notice what the first word that Deacon Bob read. The word was immediately, showing a real sense of urgency because it was such a fevered pitch at the time. In the time of Jesus, the crowd that was fed was in the thousands. Deacon Bob went into detail and he said, well, there were 5,000 men, but if there were women and children, it could have been at least 15,000 people and 12 baskets of leftover. Family of three had to be 15,000. It's pretty amazing. Can you just imagine a crowd that large wanting a piece of you? Really. The Holy Gospel shows us a rising tide of emotion and the need for the apostles to move, and right now. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. That's Matthew 14, verse 22. The Gospel of Mark tells it very similarly. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. That's Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Things were starting to build up, and the people were looking to make Jesus their king. John's account paints a crystal clear picture of the atmosphere as well. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force and make him king, withdrew again to the mountains by himself alone. John chapter 6, verse 15. Is it any wonder that Jesus sent the disciples away and that he wanted to have some time alone with the Father? And so he did it without delay. Now the apostles were on the southwestern side of the Sea of Galilee. Picture, if you would, say this is the Sea of Galilee. They're down here. And, you know, when you're reading it, you think, okay, they're going to go this way across. They're actually going this way up to the northwestern corner to Bethsaida, which is right near a village where Peter's mother-in-law lived, Capernaum, also known as the village of Jesus, because that's where he set camp. If you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, you know there are times when it's beautiful and it's crystal clear like a glass lake. But then at a moment's notice, the wind can whip down from the mountains and it can get pretty wild. As a matter of fact, I lost a hat to the Sea of Galilee back in 1999. It was a neat hat too. It was an Israeli army hat that I bought in one of the many gift shops. You know, fishermen were quite used to being out on the lake at night. And there were gospel accounts of them fishing all night and catching nothing. Jesus told them to go back out and lower their nets. But on this night, the wind must have been pretty strong. Because as today's Holy Gospel says, when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. You know, take a picture of people rowing a boat because the sails would be just going crazy, rowing and rowing like in the Last Kingdom, trying to make the boat go someplace. Mark's gospel says the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. I didn't make it up about rowing. It's right there. The Gospel of John said they'd only gone 3 or 4 miles. Apparently, they were really struggling. They had taken down the sails and were using only the oars to try to give some stability to this boat, to try to get them where they wanted to go. And Jesus walks out to them. Now remember, Jesus is not just walking on the water, as amazing as that is, but he had to walk 3 or 4 miles to catch up with them. Are you ready to go out on the water and walk 3 or 4 miles? Uh-uh. I'm not ready to go on land 3 or 4 miles, let alone on the water. There's a lot going on here. This is an amazing gospel account. And of course, as I told you, it is in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John. Unlike the synoptic gospels that Deacon Bob talked about last week, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I talked about the feeding of the 5,000. Scripture is coming to life before these 12 people. And it's also revealing to them Jesus' true identity and his real power. The apostles would connect to such scriptures as like this from Job. Who alone stretches out the heavens and tramples down the waves of the sea? Job 9, verse 8. And from Job 38, 16. Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? From Isaiah chapter 43, verses 15 and 16. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters? The gospel says Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. When they saw Jesus walking on the sea, they supposed that he was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and they were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Those words are recorded in Mark chapter 6, verses 48 to 50. We need to remember Mark's gospel is given to us from one apostle's point of view, and that's Peter, who gave his eyewitness accounts to John Mark. Look at the phrase, he intended to pass by them, an indication Jesus was heading on without them. This phrase of passing by we've heard before, once with Moses and once with Elijah. Okay, now, remarkable, Jesus refers to the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah, just like on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Elijah was on one side and Moses was on the other, the law and the prophets, he was joined by them at this point in word. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and his appearance changed on that mountain. And I want to suggest to you that his appearance changed at this time too, because they didn't recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. He may have been glowing, so they thought, oh my goodness. I want you to hear the words, God's words to Moses in Exodus chapter 33. God allows Moses to witness his presence, and he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And then the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about. While my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. There's a lot going on that's very similar here. That's Exodus 33, 19 to 22. Here Jesus, God himself incarnate, is passing by his 12 apostles after they witness his compassion in feeding the 5,000 and healing that many in the multitude. Elijah went to the mountain waiting for God's voice. So he said, go forth and stand on a mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. Elijah witnessed the presence of God in a still, small voice. You've heard me say many times before that the Hebrew word for wind is the same word as spirit, ruach. Jesus was showing his apostles his glory, his power over all creation, and once again his compassion for them as he saves them from this terrible storm. Jesus is having compassion on them, cries out to them who he really is. Now, all those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, and in today's Holy Gospel, Matthew 14, are eyewitness accounts and give the same account that Jesus tells these screaming men to take courage and not be afraid. I want you to listen to what he said. He said, "It is I." The literal meaning of "it is I am." Or in Greek, ego eimi. It's the same as saying the I am is here, or I, Yahweh, am here. I want you to consider that. You remember when we learned God's identity in Exodus 3, chapter 14, as the answer to Moses' question about who he should say is sending him? And God says, "I am who I am." Then second, the prophet Isaiah gives us words, "Who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first and the last. I am he." Isaiah 41:4. You see the parallels going on here? God also confirms in Isaiah 43:10, 51:12, and 52:6. Jesus laid out the clues. And Peter asks Jesus, if that's him, to let Peter come out of the boat to him. And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter walked out to Jesus until he realized what was going on. You know, can you imagine getting out and walking on the water and then looking down and seeing the fish? And it's like, you started seeking. Proof? You want proof? Jesus saved him, picked him up. I am came to his aid. The Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, got into the boat and they were amazed. The gospel says, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Proof? You need proof? These apostles witnessed 5,000 or more people being fed, and my goodness, with just five loaves and two fish. They were sent out two by two and healed people. They were driving out demons, and they heard every single word that Jesus taught. But they were still not sure of what they were witnessing. You might say that they were spiritually blind, not because of sin or rejecting Jesus, because of their own lack of paying attention to what God was doing right in their very midst. You know, we can drive along a road, and it could be several people in the car. And somebody will say, "Did you see that?" "See what?" Right? It happens. "Did you see that deer?" "What deer?" "Did you see that sign?" "What sign?" Because we all have different things we're tuned into. Well, same thing happened with the apostles. The answer is simply this. No man can know Jesus unless the Holy Spirit gives him eyes to see for who he really is, and ears to hear and digest his holy word. How many times have you heard me pray a prayer at the beginning of a sermon, asking for God to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear the message that you have given us? The disciples could not know Jesus as God until it was revealed to them. They couldn't understand the meaning of all the signs and miracles until they could truly know that God created those miracles. The apostles could have been asking themselves, how much has Jesus been doing in our lives that we have not seen? Sign? What sign? Deer? What deer? How many miracles have happened that we didn't recognize because we were too busy or distracted to see what God was doing? Are we spiritually blind? Can we see God at work in our very midst? Or do we count it all as circumstantial? I have to tell you, there's no such thing as circumstances. I like to call them God instances. and they happen for a reason. I'd like you to look around this church, and I want you to see the miracles that are here. The miracles that have happened in each one of our lives. Look down the pew. You'll see a miracle. I'm looking at several right now. Indeed. Are you fearful of the storms in your life? I know this sounds like an infomercial. It's not. It's almost over. Do you feel like you're about to go under for the last time? Have you been there? Remember in his gospel, Peter started to sink because he realized what was happening to him. Jesus grabbed him by the hand, and they both got in the boat together. Do you feel like Jesus might pass you by? Please ask God for him to give you the eyes to see him as he really is. Ask him that you would recognize his hand at work in your life. Call out to him and let him speak peace into your heart and life. Then let the Holy Spirit give you the peace that surpasses all understanding, so that you too can see and know Jesus as he really is. My dear friends, Jesus loves you so much, and he wants to be with you. He wants to come to you. Not only does he want to get into your boat, he wants to be in your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.